in everybody's heart, especially you young people. And so as you grow up, right now it's easy to serve God. Your parents are making you come to church. As you get older, you've got to make decisions for yourself. And you'll be faced with a lot of temptation. We face with a lot of different things. And I hope with everything inside of me, every one of you keep that same desire. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I've seen what this world offers. I've seen friends that grew up in the ministry and today aren't serving God. I've watched the direction of their lives and the end result of that. And I wouldn't trade what I have for anything that they've got. I thank God so much for what He's done. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Acts chapter 13. When you get there, stand with me. I'm going to preach a message to you tonight, the method of missions. I'm going to try to do a lot more teaching tonight than preaching, but hey, if we get preaching, we'll get to preaching. Amen. But Acts chapter number 13, I'm going to look at the Word of God and look at the first sending service and see how missions works. And many of you know this is nothing new to many of you, but we do have several folks that have been saved recently, getting plugged into church recently, and I want to make sure that everybody understands why we do missions the way we do it and what the Word of God says specifically about missions and reaching the world with the gospel. Acts chapter 13, look at verse number 1. Here, now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And here we see the sending of the first missionaries out of the church here at Antioch. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us. We need you tonight. Help us, Lord, to see the need for missions around the world, to see the need to go and to reach everybody we can with the gospel message, with the truth that we have been given. And Lord, as even the song said, there's so many that have never heard of God's grace. And I pray that you'd help us to be able to go and share that with others and to see the joy of their shattered lives being restored and broken hearts run to the Lord. And Lord, help us as we strive to make a difference in this world around us. Use us, God, as please. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here we see from the Word of God the missions-minded church. And so early in the book of Acts, we see where they started there in the church at Jerusalem. But here we see a church that has been planted in Antioch, and it's been planted by way of persecution. And here they are in Antioch. And this church here at Antioch was a missions-minded church. It was a missions-hearted church. It would be what we would call a missions-based church, where they sent forth the missionaries out of their church to do the work of God. Some people ask, well, how does missions actually work? I'm glad you do ask that, because the Bible gives us an answer for everything. Here in Acts 13, we see in verses 1 and 2 that first, God calls out the missionaries. God calls out missionaries. But here, He doesn't just call people to be a missionary that aren't doing anything for God. He calls those that are busy serving Him to do the work for Him in another area. Look at verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So here, Saul and Barnabas at the time, they were serving in their church. They were doing the work of God. They were an assistant pastor. They were teachers in the church. They were busy in the ministry. Listen, we don't support missionaries that have never done anything for the Lord. We support missionaries that have been busy in their church doing the work of God, and now they're going to the mission field, sent and endorsed by their church, to go and start a church, to go and plant a church, to go and reach people with the gospel message. And that's exactly what we see here. Those that were busy in the ministry doing a work for God, now they're being sent out of that church. So here God calls the missionary first. Secondly, we see that the local church then sends out that missionary to do the work of God. Here, God calls them and the church then sends them, because the church is the institution that God created when Jesus Christ was walking
walking on the face of the earth. It is the organism, it's the organization that God planted here to do the work of God. And God always blesses the works that are done through the local New Testament church. Here in verse number 3, and when they, talking about the church, had fasted and prayed and laid their hands, talking about the church, the staff, laid their hands on them, that would be Barnabas and Saul, they, the church, sent them, Barnabas and Saul, away. So here the church is the one that's sending the missionaries out to do the work of God. So this here verse, this here passage describes the sending service of a missionary. I've got to be a part of several sending services of missionaries. Grew up in a church, it was a rather large church there in Jacksonville. The Masters know, the Throws, and Brother Anthony, of course. We all grew up in that area. We were there in that church. We saw a lot of missionaries that were sent out of our church and gone to the mission field. And we see here the sending service in Acts 13 verses 1, 2, and 3. And we got to see that firsthand where the missionary had shared their burden. God had called them. They had worked at a church. They had proven themselves. They had started some ministries. They had done the work of God. And now they were going to be sent out of the church to go and continue to do and build a work of God on a foreign mission field. And that's exactly what we see here. God calls the missionaries. Secondly, the local church then sends out that missionary. And then thirdly, go to 2 Corinthians. Verses 4 and 5, we'll see the same thing. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jew. They had John to their minister. So here they're going out and they're starting churches. They're going from church to church. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, you'll notice that we were there this morning. You'll notice that these missionaries, they go to these other churches of like faith. And just like we have missionaries that come in and they're able to raise the support and garner the support that's needed so they can get to the field to do the work that God has called them to do. And we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, go ahead and go there. We were there this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we were there again this morning as I stated. This was a poor church. And here we see that this church was very poor. They didn't have much, but they had a spirit that was willing to give. They were willing to give what they could. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They gave to the fullest extent of their power, and then where their power ended, that's when God's power began. And just like in our lives, when your strength ends, God's strength begins. When your power ends, God's power begins. When your finances end, God's finances and God's blessings begin in our lives. And we see that here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And these churches were able to support these missionaries as they went out and did the work. And here, verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. And so here the church was begging the missionary to take the money. Now, Brother Anthony, how different is that than the way missions operates today? Missionaries come to church begging for money so they can get to the field. Here, missionaries would come to the church and the church was begging them to take their money. That's how biblical missions work. The church is so ready. The church is so fired up. The church is so excited about being involved in missions. They were trying to get all the missionaries to come and to send them the money they needed to get to the field that they needed to go to. Man, if missions could work that way today, we could solve all the problems in the world as far as reaching everybody with the gospel. If God's people would just get on fire with getting behind those that have been called to these different places, we can take care of reaching everybody with the gospel. But here we see other churches supported these missionaries. Look at chapter number 9, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 6. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We as a church, we don't want to sow the seed sparingly because we don't want to reap sparingly. We want to sow the seed as bountifully as possible. We want to support as many missionaries as possible. We want to reach as many countries as possible. Why? So that we can reap a bountiful harvest of souls. Look at verse 7. Every man, I have in my Bible that word, the words every man underlined, and above that I have in parentheses my name written. Every man, and so above that I have Terry, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. We personalize this. Every man, according as we purposed in our heart, the Bible says, so let him give. Not grudgingly.
There's that preacher asking for money again. I don't know why we got to give this money all the time.
Giving grudgingly. Then it says, or of necessity.
Well, if I don't give, then nobody will give.
Well, God's not going to bless that attitude either. Don't give grudgingly. Don't give of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Why is it, Brother Nick, every time we talk about money, it's the most deadening time of the service? It is the most depressing time. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. We ought to be excited about the fact that we get to partner with somebody to be able to reach other people with the gospel message. Look at verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. This is what Faith Promise Missions does for us. We broke it down a little bit in chapter number 8 this morning. But as you give by faith, I can't always explain it. But here in chapter number 9, verse number 8, it explains it very perfectly for us. God is able to make all grace abound unto you. As you give by faith and you do what God's commanded you to do, then God will always do His part and supply what's needed. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Notice that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Here, God's going to make sure that you don't go without. As you give by faith to missions, and as you do the work that God has put in your heart, as you commit, and we take and we pray about what God would have us to do, and that's what these missions commitment cards are about. We're praying about what God would have us to do, and we're giving by faith, and as we do that, God is able to give us all sufficiency in all things. He's able to make sure that we have everything that we would ever need. Listen, notice I didn't say everything we ever want. It's everything we ever need. Because the things that we want are much different than what God knows that we need. And God will supply our needs. Now, yes, there are times where God will supply your wants. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 tells us that. But here He says that we would always have all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. So here God is also not just going to supply different things for us, but God is going to give us opportunities to do more good things. Because as we're faithful in little things, God gives us bigger things. As we steward well what God has already given us, God gives us then more to what? To steward that well. And then what happens? As we steward that well, God then gives us more to steward that well. And so here we see missions at work. God calls the missionaries. The local church sends out the missionaries, and then other churches partner with those missionaries and get them to the field. And we see it even back, and we don't have time to go through it all, but 2 Corinthians chapters 1 through 5, we see that this church here specifically, the churches of Achaia, the churches of Macedonia, they had supported Paul in other missionary endeavors that he had. And so we need to make sure we understand this is exactly how missions works. So in our lives, there's three things that missions is going to require. Again, this is going to be the method of missions. There are three things that missions always requires in our lives. First, missions requires a vision. Missions requires a vision. Number one, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Here, missions requires a vision. We've got to have the vision that God has left us here to fulfill. The vision that we ought to have is the vision of God's desires. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 tells us about the Great Commission, that we are literally to go to win them to Christ, to baptize them, and then to disciple them in the things of God. We're to go send missionaries to go and to plant churches, and to do thou likewise is what Jesus Christ says. You remember in Acts chapter number 16, Paul had the great Macedonian vision. He heard the great call from Macedonia where they asked to come over here and help us. And he had that vision that was given from the Lord. And Paul would have never gone there if God never gave him a vision. You say, well, how does a missionary know that God has called him to a specific field? Well, let me ask you, how do you know that God called you here? There are times where God just confirms it in your heart. There are times where God just confirms certain things in your life, and you know that you're exactly where God meant for you to be. It's the same way in a missionary's life, that God has confirmed some thoughts in their hearts. God has confirmed some things in their life, and God has confirmed that they are supposed to go and to reach those people in that part of the world. And God confirms it. You see, God's greatest desire for every one of us is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. And that is that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's greatest desire, is that all should come to repentance. And how can we reach everybody? Like we said this morning in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, we should be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. So here, we have got to have a vision. Missions requires a vision. It requires a vision of God's desire. But also, it requires a vision of the field's depths as well. Go to Acts chapter 1. I told you we're going to do a little bit more teaching tonight. I might do some preaching too, but that doesn't mean that you can't say amen. I feel like I'm all alone up here. All right. I don't know if some of you got some attitudes about different things, but just pray and ask God to fix your heart. Praise God. And we'll get some things right there. By the way, you don't have to wait till the invitation. You can pray there at your seat or come to the altar and pray. Acts 1:8. Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Here, missions requires not just a vision of God's desires, not just a vision of what God expects us to do while we're here on earth, but also it requires a vision of the field's depths. Where are we supposed to go? We're supposed to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Now listen, I told you all the different applications of what those meant this morning, but let me make another application, and you've heard this one before. The Jerusalem was the city or the town that they lived in. So here, our Jerusalem would be our McAllister. Judea was the state that they dwelled in. So our Judea would be the state of Oklahoma. Samaria was the country which engulfed them. And so our country is the United States of America. All right? And then the uttermost parts of the world would be the rest of the world. And we are to be witnesses. How do we do that? Well, we've got to do our part here in McAllister, reaching the world with the gospel, reaching our town with the gospel message. But also, we've got to support church planters here in our own state, here in our own country, trying to reach people with the gospel message. And by the way, we as a church support a church planter here in the state of Oklahoma. It's Brother Rick Carter Sr. He has a church plant up outside of Oklahoma City. We also support church planters around America. We support one specifically down in Texas. Brother Josh Russell, been supporting it since last year. And we're supporting these different church planters. Why? Because we're trying to reach our, not just our Jerusalem, but our Judea and our Samaria as well. And there's many, many more that are out there. Many, many more church planters I'd like to take on for support. And we've got to be able to expand our faith, but we've got to understand the field's depths. The Bible tells us that we are to go to the regions beyond. And many a times that's a slogan that's often used in reference for missions conference and different revivals and different things there. But do you realize how big earth is? Do we realize it? Listen, we talk about it all the time. And we talk about the fact that there are 8 billion people on the earth. But do we realize the depth of that? Listen, there comes a point when you're dealing with numbers where numbers just become another thing. If we can visualize it, if we can make it tangible, then yeah, we can be able to see that. But there's times like when it gets over 1 million and gets over 2 million, it gets to hundreds of million. Those are just random. Those are just numbers. They don't really sink in like they should. Hey, here we're talking about 8 billion people. Here, I heard the preacher say many, many years ago that the earth, the whole world, 8 billion people, and at that time when it was stated, and I heard this preacher say it was just 7.5 million or 7.5 billion, but it still applies to the 8 billion today. He said that the church could reach the world with the gospel in 33 years if just one man would win one other man to the Lord and disciple him and train him for a year, get him taught on how to turn around and do the very same thing. And then they would multiply. We multiply ourselves. So here, one person reaches one person. Now you have two people at the end of year one. Okay? Here, at the end of year two, both of those two people now have gone out and they've won, each one, somebody to Christ. And discipled them and trained them in the doctrines of God. At the end of year two, you have four. At the end of year three, you have eight. Because four have gone out and now they've doubled. And each year we double. Year four, you would have 16. Year five, you would have 32. Year six, you would have 64. Well, let's fast forward because this is going to get time consuming. Year number 10, you would have 1,032. In year 16, you would have 65,500. In year number 20, you would break 1,000,000 people. 1,049,600 people. In year number 25, it would be 33,587,200 people that would have been reached. In year number 30, you would break the 1 billion mark. 1,074,790,400. And then after 33 years, there would have been 8,598,000,000 people won to Christ. In 33 years, if we would just get serious about winning one person to Christ and discipling that one person to go and do the very same thing. Now, think about that. In 33 years, it can be done. Now, listen, that's a conservative number. But does anybody remember how old Jesus was when he died? 33 years. Kind of interesting that the length of time that Christ lived on earth is the same length of time it takes to simply reach the world with the gospel if we were conservative on numbers. Now we can double that, and we can triple that if we just simply got busy. We've got more than one person in here that knows how to lead somebody to Christ, correct? We've got more than one person that knows how to take the Word of God and knows how to teach somebody after they've gotten saved, knows how to disciple them in the Word of God. We take and we got serious about the work that God has called us to do. You see, missions requires a vision of God's desires, a vision of the field's depths, but also a vision of going and sending. You see, the usual attitude of most Christians today in reference to missions is, Lord, send anybody else but me. There's a song in our hymn book, and it's called, Lord, Send Me Anywhere. Brother Corey McTague actually used to sing it before when he was on staff there at Bible Baptist. And it's, Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any ties, save the tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord, hear my plea. I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee. That's how the song goes. And the desire is, Lord, send me. But most churches today, we're content with just saying, God, send somebody else. God, I'm content doing the things that I'm doing. God, I'm happy with my job. I'm happy with my family. I'm happy with my life. God, just send somebody else. Well, let me tell you, we've got missionaries that are coming this week, and they're willing to go. So if that's your attitude, Lord, send somebody else, then hey, let's send somebody else. And if we're going to send somebody else, let's actually pay for them to go. And let's commit some money. But listen, we'll have a problem committing money if we've never first committed ourselves to the Lord. The Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We ought to be willing to go, but we also ought to be willing to send. And look, think about this. Would you rather be a spectator in the work of God, or would you rather be a participator? Last time I checked, Brother Nick, we both like sports. Okay? Brother Brad, you like sports too, amen? Last time I checked, as fans of certain teams, even though the team wins the championship, we don't get our names on anything. We're fans. And we say, yeah, we won the championship. Brother Anthony reminds me all the time, you didn't win anything. You just rooted for the team that did. I didn't win anything. Well, this last year, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they won the NBA Finals. And everybody's like, yeah, we won it. And they turned around and said, yeah, we won it for the city. Okay, that sounds good. But everybody in the city, their name doesn't go on a plaque. they didn't get anything. What were they? We were spectators. But you know what? The participators, you know what they got? They got these cool little rings. Right? They have these little championship rings that they get to wear. They got something to remember. Why? Because they participated in it. You know what? When you spectate the work of God and you watch everybody else do the ministry and do the work of God, you can rejoice, but there's nothing like participating in the work of God. Listen, you may not get a golden ring with a championship trophy to put in your office somewhere, but when you get to heaven, there's going to be countless multitudes of people that have been reached with the gospel simply because you were willing to get involved. You were a participator. By the way, seeing those souls get saved does far more for my heart than any championship ring would do. Being able to invest in somebody and make a difference in their life for all of eternity does far more than a gold ring that's going to melt someday or going to get sold or going to get pawned when somebody dies. Okay. Missions requires a vision. We've got to have a vision for the world around us. Secondly, missions requires a burden. You say, well, a vision and a burden are the same thing. No. I kindly object. No, they're not. Okay. They're two separate things. Let me explain. You see, a vision affects our mind. A burden affects our heart. Now, the Bible does say, mine eye affecteth my heart. So your vision will affect your burden. And when you have a vision, and by the way, that's why when missionaries are going from church to church, and we'll have our missionaries that are here visiting with us this week for the missions conference on Thursday night, and then on Friday night and on Saturday night, they're going to be presenting their slides or their video slides, their videos of the work that they're going to go do, of the survey trip that they had taken, a video of the people that they're going to be ministering to. Why do they do that? Because our eye affects our heart. Because when we can see the need, when we can see the burden that they have, when we can see the vision of what they're going to do, it causes us to then have a burden for those that are around us. You see, a vision affects our mind, but a burden stirs our hearts and causes us to desire to get involved. You see, a vision causes sympathy. You can sympathize with somebody when you see the need, but a burden gives you empathy. And it causes you to want to do something for that person. You not only sympathize, but now you empathize and you want to help them. Here, missions requires a burden to know God's will in the matter of missions. You say, well, what is God's will in the matter of missions? We see it in the Great Commission. Acts 1:8. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 28. Again, I know this is familiar to most of you that are in here. But please, please don't miss your Bible when we read our Bibles. Don't let the Word of God get stagnant in your life because it's familiar. Understand the importance of what we are doing this week. Here in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them," talking about His church, "saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," He says, "because I have all power, and because they are with Him, then they have all access to all power as well." Did you catch that? Jesus Christ has all power, and when we get close to Jesus Christ, we then have access to that power. Here, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Here, Jesus Christ said we are to go and to teach all nations, meaning we are to tell them, preach the gospel to them, and tell them of the Savior, which is Jesus Christ. And once they get saved and trust Christ, their personal Savior, they are to be baptized and then into the church. And then we are to teach them and disciple them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Here, this is God's will concerning missions. Here, the authority, notice the authority is dominant, but the authority is also delegated. He says, "Because I have all power, then you must go." We see the activity. We are to go. We are to win. We are to baptize. And we are to teach. And then we see the ability. In verse number 20, he says, "And lo, I am with you always." Here, God is with me. By the way, I've got these two words circled in my Bible. Verse number 19, I have the word "go" circled. And in verse 20, I have the word "lo" circled. If you are willing to go, then God, "lo," will be with you. But if you don't go, there will be no "lo." If we don't do God's work, then God's not going to bless and be with us in His work, because we're rejecting to do the thing that God has called us to do. But here, if we go by faith, trusting God to provide, and we give by faith, trusting God to provide, lo, He is with us always, the Bible says. It requires, missions requires a burden to know God's will in the matter of missions. And by the way, the more you read your Bible, the more you'll see missions in your Bible. The more you read the Word of God, the more you see God's heartbeat at reaching the world with the gospel. You see, many of us, we mark our Bibles, but we don't let our Bibles mark us. We mark all throughout our Bibles, but we don't let the Word of God mark us. And if we were to let the Word of God mark us, it would give us the heart that God has. We need to see the world as Christ sees the world. It's a world that is lost without Him. Which raises then the question, me as a child of God, can I know God's will and ignore it? The answer is very simple. Sure, you could. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to have the blessings of God on your life. You're not going to be able to serve God in any capacity if you're willingly ignoring the will of God. But you could. God won't be with you. Because if there's no go, there's no low. It's right there. Missions requires a burden to know God's will in the matter of missions. But missions also requires a burden to do something about the souls of lost men. Brother Nick, you had mentioned about having a nail in your tire and stopping off in an area and talking to people that you never would have met before. See, missions requires a burden to talk to those who otherwise we never would have talked to. Have an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody who otherwise we never would have been able to share the gospel with. See, there's times, Brother Brandon, you shared the testimony of your wife when she had her surgery. And how the doctor had said, "Y'all be praying and I'm going to be praying." Had she had never gone through that surgery, you wouldn't have been able to share a testimony with that doctor. You see, sometimes God allows trials in our lives for us to be able to meet people who otherwise we never would have been able to meet. He allows us the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody who otherwise we never would have been able to share the gospel with. Listen, I believe in divine appointments and in the divine timing of God. Hey, God, as a sovereign God, can do whatever He wants to do, whenever He wants to do it. And God has planned for certain people's paths to cross our paths at a certain time. The specific time when God knows they need it. And we've got to be willing and ready to take the gospel and to simply share it with them. You say, "Well, I don't know how to share the gospel." All you got to do is ask them to read the back. So there's a map to heaven on the back. Right there. Don't worry, I got another one. There's a map to heaven right there on the back. We got a map to the church, but that's not the important map. The important map's the one to heaven. Now, yeah, we want people to go to our church, but more important, we want people to go to heaven. We want to make sure that they know that they're going to heaven when they die. We got to be willing to share that with everybody around us. Missions requires a burden to do something about the souls of lost men. Whether it's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs Jesus. And we've got to be willing to share the gospel with them. You know, as we study the Word of God, and as we see what the Word of God tells us about missions, and as we understand the need in the world around us. And I want to encourage everybody, be here every single night of the missions conference, all right? Because when you're here every single night, you're going to see the burden. You're going to see the need that these missionaries have. And I want to challenge you. How can we, in a conscious state of mind, how can we honestly see the burden, see the vision, and then choose not to do anything about it? How can you sit there and in your right mind, literally watch somebody die in a flame of fire and not try to lift a finger to help them? Brother Thoreau, you were a firefighter. I'm sure there were times, and I haven't had this discussion, but I'm sure there were times in being a firefighter where you heard people dying in the fire. And I'm sure those screams you'll never forget. But as a firefighter, you try to do everything you could to get to them before it was too late. Listen, God has called every one of us to be a spiritual firefighter. In Jude 22 and 23, it says, "And if some have compassion to make a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." God has called us to be a spiritual firefighter. I've heard this illustration. Brother Mark Bachman gave a phenomenal illustration. He was a missionary to Germany many, many years ago. He gave a phenomenal illustration about a firefighter and his responsibility. And I've heard this illustration given dozens of times. If we were to go through the room here tonight, and if every one of us were firemen and women, all right, fire peoples, and we all had different jobs, okay? Your job, you're cleaning the latrines, all right? You got bathroom duty. Why? I think you'll be good at it. No? Okay. Your job, you're mopping the floors. Okay? And we go around the room. Your job, you're going to straighten and polish all the helmets. You can do all that, right? The helmets, things go on top of your head? Got it. Okay. Kleenex. Oh. You might need some help, amen. Brother Brad, your job, you're going to straighten out and you're going to rework all the hoses. And reorganize them and restack them and all the vehicles. And we're going to go around the room. Have somebody else polishing something. Have somebody else in here that knows how to cook. You'll be the cook, amen? We'll have somebody in every area. Somebody going through and making sure that all the light bulbs are working in all the vehicles. And we go through all these different things. And if I were to come back and ask you, what is your job? If you tell me anything else other than being a firefighter, then you're wrong. Because while you have those jobs at the station, your primary job is not toilet duty. Your primary job is not polishing the helmets. Your primary job is to pull somebody out of the fire. Right? And in our lives, in our Christian lives, we all have ministries. We all have opportunities. We all have responsibilities. Brother Nick, you're a father. But more than that, you're a spiritual firefighter. Your responsibility is to make sure of the spiritual well-being of your home. But not just that. You've got coworkers that I may never talk to. And we go around the room. Brother Anthony, you got coworkers down in Durant I'm never going to meet. Coworkers that you met up in what, Michigan? No. Where was that you went to? Wisconsin, the cheese place. Went up there, met all those people. I'm never going to meet them. So you have an opportunity to reach them with the gospel. Why? Because that's your job. You're a spiritual firefighter. And we can go around the room to everyone. Brother Brandon, you have a responsibility to reach all those veterans that you have contact with through all these different ministries. These are responsibilities that we have. We're spiritual firefighters. Our job is to pull them out of the fire. You say, but some of them aren't going to come. That's fine, but we shouldn't stop trying. Our job is to go and try to reach everybody that we can with the gospel. And God help us if we know the end is them burning in a flame of fire and then we do nothing about it. How can we honestly sleep at night? I've heard story after story of different people that have gone through different things, and whether it was a fireman who hears, like Brother Thoreau, hears the screams of those that have died, or if it's a first responder who comes to a car accident and can't get somebody out of a vehicle and they hear the screams of somebody that's dying in a flame of fire. I've heard story after story after story, and the trauma that they deal with and the constant nightmares they wake up with because they can't get that out of their head. I wonder when was the last time God woke you up in the middle of the night and you were thinking about those around the world that were dying without the gospel? Are you listening? I dare say we don't have a burden like we should. We don't have a burden like we should. When we can look at even the Olympics that are going on right now and see all these faces from all these different countries and hear all these weird national anthems, okay, and not do anything in our hearts
realizing they're going to die without Christ and they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And that doesn't bother us. Then why are we doing it? Why are we here? We ought to be bothered by these things. Missions requires a burden to do something about the souls of lost men. But also, missions requires a burden for us, listen, to leave our comfort zone and do something about it. This is where it gets serious. Because we get comfortable just sitting in a pew and letting somebody else go and do the work. But we've got to be willing to leave our comfort zone, willing to leave the comfort of our home, willing to go to where people are at and share the gospel with them. You understand that tonight, over 90% of the preachers of the gospel in this world, over 90% of the preachers are preaching here in America. Not on foreign lands. They preach here in America. You ever thought about why we have the opportunity to hear the gospel over and over and over again while millions have never heard it once? You ever thought about that? And we take it for granted. We just assume that people know. I share with you this morning, you ever thought about the fact that we spend more money on dog food than we do on world missions? The reality, we've got to share the gospel with the world. Now listen, just because you have a burden for the lost doesn't mean God will send you to the mission field. Okay? Everyone that has a burden doesn't always get sent. God, a lot of times God will allow those that have some of the bigger burdens for missions to stay in their local church and keep the local church fired up about reaching the world with the gospel. Because God needs people here willing to send those that are going. There needs to be a burden on both sides. The missionary needs to have a burden. But we as pastors need to have a burden. You as church members, you need to have a burden. We all need to have a burden for the lost around us. It's not just the missionary's job to go. It's our job to make sure that they get to where they're going. Missions requires a vision. Missions requires a burden. And lastly, missions requires a sacrifice. I understand it's not alliterated, okay? Missions requires a vision. Mission requires a burden. Missions requires a sacrifice. Listen, we can't reach the world with the gospel without some kind of sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice. Somebody is going to have to be willing to go to where nobody else will go. By the way, that's what Jesus was. He was willing to come to earth. By the way, God had only one son. God only has one son. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And God sent him to be a missionary. He was willing to send him to reach everybody with the gospel. But you know, most of us, we talk about sacrifice, and what do we think? Cheesecake falling on the ground, amen? It got sacrificed. That was a waste. We think of sacrifice. Oh, I didn't get my coffee this morning. I'm suffering for Jesus. We didn't get to go out to eat. Man, that's such a sacrifice. I got to cook at home. Really? We don't know sacrifice. Listen, I'm talking sacrifice where we are willing to give to meet somebody else's needs. Where we're willing to dig a little deeper. Where we're willing to get out of our comfort zone and to go without something. You know, America, like it or lump it, is the fattest country in the world. You understand that? Being honest, okay, I've gained some weight. All right? That's not the time to say amen, people. I broke a ladder, okay? Broke a ladder. All right. I'm going to stay behind this pulpit so nobody sees my buttons. Broke a ladder, all right.
Lord help us all. America's the fattest country in the world. Quit laughing at me. All of us could stand to go without something. Think about it. I've got this problem. I've got this problem. Let's be honest. All of us, we could stand to sacrifice a little. Okay? We choose not to buy sodas. God help us all. We choose not to buy candy. Lord help us all. I know, I'm getting serious now. All right. We choose not to go out to eat. Joshua, that means no McDonald's. Lord help us all. No late night Taco Bell runs. Lord help us all. Listen, we can all go without if we really wanted to get involved in missions. The question is, as adults, the reality is, what do you want to do? Do you want to get involved in missions? Or do you just want to sit and complain about how the world is? Well, we can sit and complain all day long. And I'll be one of the first ones in line up. I got a lot to complain about, all right? We're all masters of our own opinions. We can all complain. But what are we doing about it? What are we sacrificing? What are we choosing to go without so that somebody else can go in our stead? Listen, if we're not willing to go in person, we ought to be willing to send somebody in our proxy. And what that means is that we send them in our place. So if we're not willing to go ourselves, we need to be willing to send somebody else so they can go. Because people want to go to the mission field. We get call after call after call. Miss Aspen, Heartland's full of young men and young ladies who are willing to go to the mission field right now. Bible colleges all around America are currently filled with young men and young women who want to go. Churches have missionary interns on staff right now who want to go. I know of several pastors that have resigned the pastorate to go to the mission field because the burden God's placed on their heart. People are willing to go. But are we willing to participate in the sacrifice? Listen, I understand that we got a couple of kids in here that are praying about the mission field. And praise God for you. I'm excited for you and I want you to pursue God's will for your life. But for those of you that know that God has you here, if somebody else is willing to go, then we ought to be willing to send them. If somebody else is willing to sacrifice everything they have and move to a completely different country in a completely different area, if somebody's willing to do that, man, I want to get behind that. And if that means giving what little money I've got, then man, I'm going to do it. You look at my wallet right now, it's just full of receipts. But listen, I'll give whatever I can give so that they can go. The reality is, my sacrifice financially pales in comparison to their physical sacrifice going across the world. Think about that. I'm not the one learning a new language. I'm not the one moving my whole family and selling everything that I own. Or like Brother Daniel Files, the missionary we support in Thailand, who put the stuff that he did own in a storage shed, and while he was over in Thailand, some jackleg broke into his storage shed and stole his stuff. Think about that. I know I said the word jackleg. It's not a cuss word. Somebody stole his stuff. He's trying to do the will of God. He was willing to go. We can sacrifice. They're the ones that are going. You see, the church has stopped thinking about sacrifice. Brother Anthony, I know you work with missionaries. And there's missionaries that use the program you've developed and partnering with Brother Leland now and the different things that you're currently developing. And missionaries will agree that many of the churches, the way missions is done is broken. It's a broken system. Why? Because churches want to do very little in comparison to what missionaries are willing to do. Now think about that. Missionaries are willing to sacrifice everything. And we as churches, we want a line item on all the line item all the budget. Well, we can only support this missionary for this much. Well, if we gave more, we could support him for more. Just saying. If we gave more, we could support more missionaries. It requires sacrifice. You see, that sacrifice isn't just one person in the church. It's everybody. From the nursery to the senior saint. I was trying to think of the word. Everybody in the church ought to be willing to sacrifice. Now sometimes, listen, sometimes that sacrifice is financial. Where we sacrifice to give. But I guarantee you, every single missionary that we have had in here, and every single missionary that's going to be in here this week and later this year, every one of them will say, even if you don't support us, pray for us. Why? Because they understand the value of prayer. Like Brother Brandon was just saying, they understand what prayer does. Because you see, prayer gets the work done. And prayer gets God involved. You say, well, I don't have much to give. Well, give, but also give. Don't just give financially, give prayerfully. We ought to give our prayer time over to them. By the way, we've got a missions packet like we pass out every year for our missions conference. In that missions packet, it tells us how we can pray for missionaries. And daily, how we can pray for their needs. Brother Anthony just developed a brand new website on how to pray for missionaries in specific countries on a weekly basis. We ought to pray. Sacrifice our money, our talents that we have. Sacrifice our time that we have. Sacrifice everything. Sacrifice the treasure. Listen, the more you read about missions, the more you read about missionaries, the more you read about the work of God, the more God burdens your heart. Missions involves vision, it involves a burden, but it involves a sacrifice. And we've got to be willing to do all three. We've got to be willing to have a vision. We've got to be willing to see the way that God sees. We've got to be willing to have a burden to understand that if they die without Christ, they're going to die and go to hell. Yes, I've seen a lot of missionary videos. I've seen a lot of missionary videos that have a lot of beautiful pictures and a lot of beautiful places. But I've seen a lot of videos that have a lot of people that need the gospel. And people are dying without Christ. It requires a burden. And then missions requires a sacrifice. Whatever sacrifice you choose, I choose to give up going out to eat once a month so I can give to my missions. I choose to quit going out to eat every week so I can give to missions every week. I choose to quit buying the name brand this, and I'll buy the off brand so I can save some money so I can give it to missions. Listen, there's ways to save money. There's ways to give and sacrifice. The question is, do we really, Brother Master, do we really want to be inconvenienced? That's what a lot of that boils down to. Do I, as an American Christian, do I want to be inconvenienced when it comes to reaching the world with the gospel? Well, listen, the inconvenient truth is, if they die without Christ, they're dying and going to hell. So whatever inconvenience we have right now pales in comparison to the inconvenience of hell. That's the reality. And we've got to share the gospel with everybody that we can. This is what missions is going to require from us as a church. We've got to have a vision of the lost. We've got to have a burden for the lost. But we've got to be willing to sacrifice. And that's where this comes in. Being willing to sacrifice. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed tonight. We've got to be willing to sacrifice. We've got a Faith Promise Missions commitment cards that we have. We've got a Faith Promise Missions conference that starts on Wednesday. Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to give so that somebody else can go? Are we willing to do our part?
pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us.